Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Hallelujah. Let's go to Psalm 74. Are you ready this morning? I'm just going to share a little bit here with you this morning and kind of really kind of exhortation, I guess. Maybe a little teaching into this, maybe a little preaching, but just to kind of exhort us. Sometimes we just need a little good exhortation. Someone to come along and say, it's okay. Everything's all right. Praise God. Jesus is still alive. Glory to God. You know, we hear the saying, God's still on the throne. Well, yeah, absolutely. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's still in charge. In the end, he's going to have his way. But you know what? We don't have to wait till the end for him to have his way. He can have his way in our lives right now if we want to. Hallelujah. You don't have to wait. You know, you can just get in on it right now. I want us to go to Psalm, and we're going to just share just for a little bit on just a couple of words here. We're going to talk about covenant people. Covenant people. That's what we are. Now, David, the psalmist here in Psalm 74, he said this. When I first saw this scripture, first really realized what it was saying, this was really good. This was a revelation to me. Psalm 74, verse 20, the psalmist crying out to God says, have respect unto the covenant. Hallelujah. Well, that word respect means look on it intently. Hallelujah. Consider it. Regard it. And listen, it means to scan it. You know, scan the covenant, God. Just see what it says. Well, I mean, he knows what it says, right? But David's calling on him, hey, remember what you said in your covenant. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, God's this covenant God. How many know that? I mean, he's strong about covenant. I mean, you go back in the Exodus 32, and Moses actually changed God's mind about something because of the covenant. God said, I'm going to wipe all these people out, you know, all these, the children of Israel. You know, it was a bad day at church that day, I'm telling you. I'm going to wipe them all out. He said, I'm going to start over with you. And Moses began to talk to God, and he said, now, God, if you do that, all the enemies are going to say you couldn't bring them out of the wilderness, so you just killed them. Yeah. Moses was pretty bold, wasn't he? If you do that, God, they're just going to say, well, you weren't able to get them through the wilderness, so you just killed them. But God, you know, he was intent. He was going to destroy them all and start over with Moses. But Moses said, remember your covenant. And it said God, he relented of what he was going to do. He changed his mind. I thought, boy, that's a strong covenant, isn't it? But he said, have respect unto the covenant, for the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty or violence. Now, what's the psalmist saying? He's saying, God, there's a lot of bad stuff going on in the earth right now, and I want you to remember your covenant with me. Hallelujah. Well, I want to talk to you about that just a little bit this morning, because I think we need to understand that, you know, everything's okay. Covenant hadn't changed. Matter of fact, you know, this is Old Testament, and you know, he's talking about the Old Testament, but we got a new, better covenant established on better promises, established in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And so we need to know we're covenant people. Everything's all right. Now, why am I saying this? Well, you know, listen. You know, things in the world, Brother Kenny talked about this. He never thought we'd see some of the things that we're seeing right now. But, you know, we haven't seen anything yet. It got quiet on that. But listen, it's not done with yet. Now, you know, let me just say, you know, after 40 years of preaching, obviously I've heard a lot of good stuff. And I've also heard a lot of not so good stuff. But you know, the Bible tells us that in the last days it forewarns us that things are going to get worse and worse. Doesn't it say that? Now, you know, I lived through, and some of you did too, I lived through the 80s when there was teaching going around that was called Kingdom Now. Kingdom Now. It was called Kingdom Theology. And a lot of good people, but this just wrong, you know. And I preached against it then. And it wasn't very popular to preach against it because it was a great message. And the message was that, you know, the church is going to take over the culture and take over the world and take over the country and take over everything, and we're going to clean it all up and present it to Jesus. But here's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that this earth's going to get things are going to get worse and worse. And Jesus is going to come back and straighten it all up. Now, here's the good thing about that. You know, say, well, that's bad news. Well, here's the good thing. The good thing is we got a covenant with God, and we're protected through all out the midst of it. Hallelujah. We still prosper and are blessed. And hallelujah. Right through the middle of it. But see, if we think, you know, if we get wrong thinking, then we're always chasing something that's never going to really happen. Now, you may look at me with those looks, but you read your Bible. Jesus said in the last days these signs would happen. Right? He said there would be signs in the sun, in the moon, in the stars. I don't know what all that's going to be. But we got some more things we're going to see. He said distress of nations with perplexity. Amen. The seas and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear for looking after the things that are coming on the earth. Right. He said, but when that begins to come to pass, you lift up your heads, your redemption draweth nigh. Yep. What's he saying? Don't focus on that. Right. Focus on your redemption. Right. Focus on your covenant. Yeah. So no, I don't believe kingdom theology. I preached against it in the 80s. I still preach against it because it's not what Jesus said. Jesus didn't say it's going to get better in the world. He said it's going to get worse. But it's going to get better in the church. Yes. Hallelujah. I just don't believe that the church is where it's going to finish at right now. What do you mean by that? I believe the glory is going to get stronger in the church. I believe the glory is going to get stronger among the people of God. And yes, we're going to win multitudes to the Lord Jesus Christ. But this world, man, I'm telling you what, the system of the world and all the culture and all that, if you think it's getting better, you got another thing coming. It's not got, through all of our preaching about that, well, I didn't preach about it, it didn't change anything. Matter of fact, Brother Hagin in 1963, you may not like this. Some of the things I say this morning, I hope you take the good side. And don't just throw stones at me for some of the things that I'm just bringing reality to. But Brother Hagin prophesied in 1963. How long ago was that? That was a long time ago. 1963, I've got the prophetic word, where Brother Hagin gave this prophetic word by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God said, you are as free in your country right now as you ever will be. And I thought, you look back and I thought, you know what? Oh, that prophecy is right. Now, little by little, our freedoms got taken away. Well, I mean, we still got it good, folks. Come on. Come on. We still got it good. But you used to pray in school in those days. You used to could teach the Bible in schools in those days. But they took that away. And that's what the Lord said. He said, you're as free right now as you're ever going to be. Whether you believe that prophecy or not, that's up to you. But I just happened to look back, 1963. That's a long time ago. And think, well, yeah, it's accurate. It's happened just like that. But here's what. If the Son sets you free, hallelujah, you're free indeed, praise God. Amen. See, you know, our freedom doesn't come from the government. All governments do is oppress you. Our freedom comes from the one, praise God, who has freedom to give. Our freedom comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Our freedom's in God. Our freedom's in... Are you listening to me? I'm trying to preach to you a little bit here. Help me in the house. Come on. You know, we're covenant people. And so, you know, and here's what happened. A lot of God's people are getting nervous about things. When you don't need to get nervous about it, we're in covenant with God. We're in covenant with God. Now, you know, I remember the kingdom theology. There's still a little bit of that around, still a bit of that left. But, you know, and I remember back then when they started praying, I said, that's not accurate. That's not true. You're telling me you're going to clean the world up and present it to Jesus? The Bible says it's going to get worse. That's what Jesus... And let me tell you something. His track record's pretty good. Right. Isn't he the one... If you go over... I haven't gone to Israel yet. I'm going to go sometime, Phyllis and I, but I haven't gone yet. But I've seen the pictures and all. And when you go over into the city and you go over by the wall, you know, the temple wall, you ever notice all those big, huge, gigantic boulders? It just looks like rubble laying there in the streets. I mean, they're like several ton boulders just laying there. You ever seen those? They're just laying there. They haven't been moved because they weigh tons and tons. That's Because Jesus said that there was going to come a time in Jerusalem when armies were going to surround it and bring it to the ground. And that was in 70 AD, that happened. And that's the temple wall and the temple that they destroyed, that I think it was Titus came in and destroyed, and those stones are still there. And every time you walk by them, you can look at them and say, you know, Jesus got it right. He was right. Here's evidence. He said it would be destroyed. Remember the disciples, maybe you don't remember that. I assume people just remember things, but you remember Jesus and his disciples were at the temple and they were remarking how beautiful the temple was and the stones. And Jesus said, there's coming a day when this will all be thrown down. Didn't he say that? So here's what I believe. I believe I can trust his prophetic words. I don't know about everybody else's, we'll see. But I know I can trust his. And so here's what I know. I know he said in the last days it's going to get dark. I know he said in the last days it's going to get worse in this earth. But I also know that he said this. He said, I have in Luke, the prophetic word came forth that we could serve him without fear all the days of our life. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why? Because we're in covenant with him, praise God. Amen. And so that's what David's just talking about here. He said, have respect unto the covenant. For the dark places of the earth, they're full of the habitations of cruelty. Go over to Exodus chapter 2. Let me show you something here. God's a covenant God. And he keeps his people. Hallelujah. Now you say, well, does that mean we give up? We give up on our country? We give up on our culture? No, we're the salt, folks. You know what salt does? Salt preserves. It doesn't necessarily stop, but it slows it down. You know, when you go back, we used to call our refrigerators ice boxes. Anybody old enough remember that? Yeah. Now, why do we call them ice boxes? Because you had to buy ice to put in them to keep it cold. Remember that? Yeah. And then Brother Kenny, he goes back so far that he goes back in the day when you put the meat in the smokehouse, you put salt on it. Why'd they do that? Why'd you salt your meat for? Because salt preserves. It doesn't stop, but it slows it down. We're the salt of the earth. As long as we're here, our job is to hold back corruption by being salt and light. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that there's a spirit that's already at work in this earth. It's called the Antichrist spirit. One day it's going to manifest through a person. And the Bible teaches us in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, that there is somebody that's withholding and hindering that person from coming forth. Now, some people say it's the Holy Spirit, but it can't be the Holy Spirit because it says he'll be taken out. This whoever's holding back will be taken out of the way, and then the Antichrist can come forth. Well, the Holy Spirit's not going to be taken out of the way. He's going to be here. All through all the man, he's going to be here. I've even read commentators, well, that's the Roman government. No, it's not the Roman government holding the Antichrist back. I don't know if you know that, but the Roman government's already been taken out of the way, that government from those days. It's already gone. But there is somebody still here. I said there is somebody still here. It's called the church. Hallelujah. And when the church is removed, through what vehicle? The rapture. Then the Antichrist will not, there won't be any, there won't be the salt and light here. There won't be the restraining force, and he'll just come forth and take over. The devil would like to do it right now, but the church, listen, I'm just telling you this how strong we are. You say, well, I didn't know I was that strong. Well, there's somebody living on the inside of you. If you'll turn loose, you are that strong. Amen. See, so sometimes we may not look that strong, we may not feel that strong, but that's who we are, praise God. Jesus didn't say, try to be the salt, try to be the light. He said, you're it. If you don't do it, it's not going to happen. So let's look here in Exodus chapter 2. We're just talking about we're covenant people. Exodus chapter 2, verse 23, it says, it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Now, this is important. We would understand it more by the pharaohs. See, what happened was there was a pharaoh that was in power, a king that was in power in Egypt, who was favorable to the children of Israel. He, through he remembered Joseph. But now there's a new one in power, and the children of Israel, we got a new one in power right now. Amen. And the children of Israel, I don't know if all y'all understood what I just said there, but never mind. And the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. He remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and the King James says, and God had respect unto them, or he knew them. Or one translation says this, I like this. It says, and God looked upon the children of Israel, and God knew it was time to act. Hallelujah. In other words, because he had a covenant with them, he said, I've got to get them out of this bondage. Hallelujah. I've got to get them out of this bondage. See, God is mindful of his covenant. You remember the Bible says it. It says he's ever mindful of his covenant. But it tells us in Chronicles, be ye mindful of his covenant. What? Think about the word mindful. Think about mindful. See the way I did that? Well, it was sharp, wasn't it? Mindful. What would mindful be? You're mindful of the covenant. In other words, you think covenant. You think I'm a covenant person. So, all right. So you say, well, you know, I mean, I tell you, if this party gets an office, pastor, I want to tell you what, the economy is going to go south on us. Well, that might be true, but God's not going south on us.
That's right. Amen.
How many understand that when the Democrats took over, God didn't point the car south toward Mexico and take off. He's still here, right?
That's right.
I mean, he's still got the same number of people living in the United States as he did before. Probably more now because people are getting saved. Hallelujah. Listen now. Christianity is still, the church is still. Now, I don't care what the world tells you. The world screws numbers up. They twist them. They will tell you, you know, the Muslim faith is the fastest growing faith in the world. No, well, yeah, maybe, but no. It's not adding more people. The church is. But the church was always so much bigger already. See, it's kind of like this. If you have a church of one person and you get another person, you doubled. Right? You actually may be the fastest growing church in town. But there could be one down the street that had 1,500 and added 300 in that week. They actually added more than you did, but you actually outgrew them because by that percentage point, because they doubled. That's why you hear this religion's the fastest growing. No, in numbers, in sheer numbers of people being added, it's the church that's being added to daily. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Not just in America, but there's church all over the world. How many know that there's a church in China? It's the same church that's in America, by the way. There's churches all over in press countries all over the place that are just being added to by the thousands. The multiplied millions of people are coming into the kingdom of God. But we're not being told that. The news media is not going to tell you Christianity is doing really good. They want to tell you that, you know, churches are shutting down. You know why they're shutting down? Because they went liberal. Really? A lot of liberal churches in America are shutting down. Nobody's coming anymore because what's the difference between them and the world? What's the point of getting dressed up to go to church and get the same thing you get all week long? Why don't you dress up and go to church and get something spiritual? Something alive? See? What they don't want you to know is the fastest growing churches in America are the tongue-talking, spirit-filled churches. They don't want you to know that. I'm not going to tell you that, but it happens to be the truth when you look at the numbers. I mean, the Pentecostal, you know, charismatic, whatever you want to call them, Word of Faith churches since the 1970s have been just exploding. Amen. Now, you understand, I'm talking about worldwide. I'm not talking about just America. You know, America's numbers may not be as hot as some of the other places, but that's America. I'm talking about all over the world, man.
That's right.
Hallelujah. There are multiplied millions and millions of tongue-talking people in China. Matter of fact, you go to Russia. Now, listen to this now. You go to Russia. Remember the place that we used to not want to be like? And now they allow more than we do with the church? Well, this is the truth. You go to Russia, the Russian Christians, they don't know that there's anything else but spirit-filled, tongue-talking Christians. That's what they think it is. Don't go over there and tell them different. Don't go tell them we have a tongue section and a non-tongue section. They don't know that. They just think they're everybody's spirit-filled, man. That's the way church is. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen. Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I think that's good. See, God's interested. See, what about the things that are coming? Listen, Paul told Timothy, he said, in the last days, I don't want you to go there. I want to read the verse to you, but you just stay where you're at. Paul told Timothy, he said, in the last days, this know, you need to know this. In the last days, perilous times will come. Now, the Amplified Bible says there'll be hard to times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with, hard to bear. And he begins to say, why? For men will be lovers of their, he said, men will be lovers of their own self. Are we seeing that today?
Yes.
Covetous, we seeing that today? Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. Listen, another thing he said, unholy. Now that word unholy means no reverence. I come from a generation, when I was young, they didn't lock the churches. You could go in there and pray. They left them open, you go in there and pray. Man, because nobody, I mean, you might steal off some people, but you wouldn't steal off the church. But now, they target churches. Unholy. No reverence for God. Think about some of the films they make about Jesus now. It's a wonder they live through it. It's a good thing I'm not Jesus. All right, hallelujah. I take care of them real quick right now. Amen. Without natural affection. Without natural affection means no family love, no love for your kindred. I mean, we see mothers killing their own babies. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent or no self-control. The King James uses the word fierce or brutal. There's a lot of brutal people out there. Despisers of those that are good. How many know? We're the most hated thing in America is a Christian who's on fire for God. Now, you say, Pastor, you're really getting me down. Well, hang around. I'm going to lift you up before we close here this morning. He says, they're despised of those that are good. They're traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Oh, we're seeing that in our country. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. What does it mean to have the form of godliness? Well, it looks like they're religious. I mean, everybody runs for office is religious. But see, what does it mean having a form of godliness? They look like they're godly. They say, I belong to this church. I belong to that church, you know. A form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. What does that mean? They deny the power that the gospel brings to cause you to live holy. They deny that power. Matter of fact, if you preach about living holy, they say, well, you're judgmental, you're legalistic and all that. No, we're talking about having some power in your life.
Amen.
I mean, I believe when I got saved, I got some power. Don't tell me you can't live holy. I got saved.
Amen.
I was a drug-using fool.
Yeah.
So don't tell me that. You can't tell me that. Why? Because I've already experienced the power to live holy.
Right.
I haven't been perfect, and neither have you. But I guarantee you, when I got born again, all the drugs left me.
Amen.
All the booze left me.
Amen.
All that left me. All that running around, carousing, doing the things I did, it left me because I received the power to live holy. I just didn't have a form of godliness and say, well, I go to church. There's Holy Ghost power inside of us.
Yeah.
Especially if you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. I had a friend. I went to witness to him after I got saved. I'm closing out. But I had a friend. I went to witness to him after I got saved. You know, we did drugs together. We ran around together. And he was, you know, I got born again. And so I went to share the gospel with him. And when I went to share the gospel with him, I went to his house. He's working on a TV. He's just cussing like a sailor. He's calling that TV names that your mother won't call you. I mean, he's just, and I said to him, I said, man, I said, you need to get saved. He said, I did. Now, you know, I'm King James, you know. I'm thinking, thou didst not. But there was something inside of me that when he said, there was something inside of me that said, leave him alone. He's walking in all the light he has. Now, see, I got saved under different circumstances. My mother was a spirit-filled, word of faith believer. I knew how they lived. I knew how she lived. So, see, I knew he didn't have any example. He didn't know anything. And so, you know, he and I hung around the same set of friends. We had same. We were all in the same group. And some of my friends told me, said, you know what? He comes to the party still. He does. You know, he does drugs with us and tells us how great it is to be saved. I'm thinking, oh, brother. They probably think I'm still doing acid. You know, I didn't say anything. But then he asked me, he said, well, he worked for an airline. And he said, you know, I'm being transferred to this place. He said, do you know any churches there? And I said, yeah, I know one church there. I don't know about all the other churches, but I said, I know there's one pastor there. And I'd heard him on the radio. And I knew he preached the word of faith. I knew he was a good, solid Bible preacher. I said, go to that church. He went to that church. And the first service, pastor preached on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He turned to someone and looked at them and said, is that something I should have? They said, do you have it? I guess not. They said, yes, go down there. He got baptized in the Holy Spirit. All of a sudden, the drugs left him. The foul mouth left him. The alcohol left him. Nobody had to preach anything to him, but he got something called power. He didn't have a form. He had some power now. And he didn't deny that power. So that we don't want to deny the power. Hallelujah. Now, all right. Praise God. God is good. Let's go. Can you take just a little bit? Well, let me just give you this, all right? Paul told us about all these perilous times that are coming. But listen, I didn't have you turn to this because I'll just read it to you. But here's what he said to do. All perilous times coming, but listen to what he said to do. Continue in the things you've learned. Stick with the covenant, man. Hallelujah. Stick with what you've been taught, and it'll see you through. Go to Mark chapter 4. This is it today. I hope you got a nugget out of this. If you didn't, you should have got something out of what Brother Kenny shared. Mark chapter 4. He's not getting an offering, though. Mark chapter 4. Well, maybe we will. All right. How many think we should take up an offering up for Brother Kenny? I always say, well, I always saw two hands. All right. I did hear some amens. All right. Mark chapter 4. Now, listen now. See, the Bible tells us. See, we're living in the last days, and we talk about these things. And if you look at the wrong side, that's why Jesus said men's heart will fail them for fear, looking after those things that are coming to pass. In other words, that's what they're focusing on. See, they're focusing on those things. Amen. You listen, now let me just, I don't know why I'm saying this. Maybe somebody's just, you're a little stubborn, you need to hear this. But you better listen, read your Bible. You're not going to pray this stuff away. What Jesus prophesied, you can't pray what he prophesied. You can pray for people to be born again and be delivered from the power of the devil. But these end time things he said, you forget it. They're not going anywhere. They're coming to pass. Just as sure as he's coming back, they're coming to pass. When Jesus told his disciples, you see all these stones here? There won't be one of them that won't be thrown down on another. They could have had a prayer, but we're going to pray and stop that. No, you're not. Jesus said it. You can't stop what he said. But here's what you can do. You can live victorious right through the midst of all of it. Because it doesn't have to affect you. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us God's not given us, the church, the spirit of fear. What did he give us? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 says, but we having the spirit of faith. The church should have some faith about it. The church shouldn't be going around saying, oh no, if they get in office, we all in trouble. No, we ain't in trouble. They in trouble. Let's get this right. I said, let's get this right. We ain't in trouble. They in trouble. We the church. We in covenant with God. Hallelujah. We're just ambassadors. You know, when you send an ambassador into the country, he doesn't live like the people in that country. Man, he's in this compound, fenced around. He's living like he's in the United States, right in the middle of a poor, poverty-stricken country. I've been there. I've been to the, I've been to in third world countries where the missionary said, let me, you want to see where the U.S. ambassador lives, where he's at? Yeah, let's go by there. I've had him drive me by before. Man, it's a compound. It's fenced. I mean, they got everything going on in there. It may be poor out here, but inside there, it's not. Right? It may get poor in the world, but in the kingdom it's not.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Why? Because we, man, we are ambassadors.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You got to get a hold of that. You know, are you following this? See, why am I telling you this? Well, here's why I'm telling this. Because if you let that run its course, it'll cause you to just partake of the same thing the world partakes of, because you'll be in the same unbelief they're in, and you get the same thing they get. I don't want that. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Glory to God. Mark chapter 4. This is really good. I've used this over the years for a lot of teaching, a lot of things. But let's look at this. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. We'll close right here. Verse 35 says, the same day when evening was come, he says, now who's he? It's Jesus, right? So Jesus says unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Now, you know, who spoke that? What is he? He's the Word. So if he said we're going to the other side, how many know they're going to make it to the other side, right? No matter what comes. He didn't say, let's go out halfway and sink. He said, let's go to the other side. How many believe that it's a sure thing he's going to the other side? You're not going to read in the morning, the Jerusalem News is not going to say, Son of Man, Son of God, drowned in boating accident. Meant to make it to the cross, but got, you know, had an accident here. Sorry, that cross thing's off. It's like some Moonies I ran into, you know, that's worshipped the Reverend Young Sun Moon one time. I walked into a KFC with my Bible. I'm not crazy. I don't always carry my Bible to all the KFCs I go into. I don't go into them anymore, but I did in those days. And that wasn't a punch against KFC. I just don't go to them any longer. You can't go in them now. They're all shut down or something. But I went in there with my Bible, and these Moonies were in there. And so, man, they saw me with my Bible. They came to me, and we began to talk to one another. They said, you know... we began talking. I said, now, let me just find out, what is the real difference between you and me? What you believe and what I believe. And they said, well, we believe that Jesus was a good man. I said, I believe that. We believe he's a prophet. Yeah, I believe that. But we believe that he was murdered before he got to accomplish his mission, and now, you know, our leader, Sung Young Moon's fulfilling it. I said, well, I don't believe that. See, Jesus, when he said, let's go to the other side, they're going to the other side.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, notice what happened here. You know, just because the Lord said something doesn't mean, it, you know, you're not going to have any storms.
Right.
Let us go to the other side. Now, notice this. And when they had, verse 36, when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. There were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he, now notice that, now listen, they're going through a storm, aren't they? But he said, he said, we're going to the other side. Notice verse 38, he was in the hinder part of the ship, this is the King James, asleep on a pillow. He's asleep on a pillow, everybody. I said, he's asleep on a pillow, everybody. Worried people aren't asleep on a pillow. Fearful people aren't asleep on a pillow. Could have been, at least could have said he's asleep on a hard wooden bench. No, he picked a pillow. A pillow! He's asleep on a pillow. What does that tell you? He's not shook. See, it's like I've told you, I got a good friend, and well, I haven't seen him in a while, but so he used to come here and preach years ago in our earlier days. He used to say this. If you have awake, you know, they woke Jesus up and said, remember, look at the next part. Master, carest thou not that we perish? I like what my friend says. He says, if you have to wake a guy up to ask him if he cares, he probably doesn't care. Or he'd be awake. He's sleeping through it. Now why? Because he's already said what he said. Hallelujah. Now notice this. Verse 38, he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, and they said to him, Master, don't you care that we perish? He arose, he rebuked the wind, he said to the sea, peace be still, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Now, here's what I wanted to get to. He said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now, I wanted to read that because I wanted to say this to you. Listen. These guys, he wasn't upset with these guys because he felt like they over-exaggerated. The Bible says the boat was now full. His problem with them was they didn't do the same thing he did. That they woke him up to do it when they could have done it. That was his, see, what did he say? Where, he didn't say, boys, I'm glad you guys woke me up. Hate to lose this boat. It's a nice boat. He didn't say that. He said, why are you so fearful? How is it you don't have any faith? What was he saying? Here was his problem. He was upset because they didn't face their fear with faith. They didn't approach this thing with faith. He'd already said go to the other side. Well, if he said that, then there's nothing else that can happen. But go. It may look bad. But if he said, we're going to the other side, we're going to the other side. Yeah. Now, here's the whole thing this morning in a nutshell. What kind of church is the Lord coming after? What's Ephesians say he's coming after? A glorious church. A church full of the glory. Not a beat down, broken, busted church, but a glorious church. So if he said that, if he's coming after a glorious church, which he said, that's what he's coming after, then here's my thoughts. Guess what? I don't care what happens, we're going to the other side. Hallelujah. I don't care how bad things get in our world. You know what I mean by saying that? When I say I don't care, what I should say is it doesn't matter how bad things get in this world. It's not going to stop the church. It's not going to stop the church. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Can you say amen?
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.